Hi there, this is Laurie at Hughes of Four Leg Rehab, your place for online canine rehab education. So, this is the beginning of 2015, and what I wanted to do for you guys today is to talk about this really interesting concept I came across in regards to not setting goals, and coming up with a new system for, I guess, not quite your resolutions, but let's call it creating value-based living. Intentional value-based living. I don't know, I'm making up words. But, so let me start with how I came to this. So, I belong to this marketing, group. I just like you guys do, where you pay something monthly. So I pay something monthly, and I get a newsletter and an audio. And this was a thing that came across via email, and it was basically talking about creating and choosing the life you desire. And it was exactly this concept that I'm talking about. And I thought, wow, this is really so interesting. I want to look at doing this for myself, because when I went and looked at, okay, what had I put as my goals for last year and what had I achieved, you know, there were some things that, okay, great, I paid down my mortgage to whatever I wanted, but there were other things that I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, well, didn't do that, and oh, didn't get that, and well, you know, looked into hardwood floors and that was too expensive at the time, so didn't do that. And you kind of are left feeling like, oh, okay, well, great, so why bother? So when this came across my desk, I thought, okay, I kind of like this, I'm going to try it. So where the audio I listened to started with, that I'll start you off with, is it said to do a Google search on why you should not set goals. Okay, so the usual advice for setting goals is you want your goals to be SMART, which is an acronym for specific, measurable, attainable, and relevant. The T doesn't get its own word, it's just relevant. Anyways, goals. And the thought is, well, then you have a clear plan, it increases your awareness, and you set specific priorities. And I am a bit of a believer in goal setting, and I have had it help and work for me, but I guess the problem comes is when you start setting big goals or too big of a goal, or you become too focused on certain goals. And so this is where, when you look up the detriments or why you shouldn't set goals, so detriments of goal setting, what you find are things like the unwanted side effects. So it can cause an increase in unethical or immoral behavior. Because if all you're thinking about is, okay, here's my dollar value, I need to do this. You know what, it's always, have you ever noticed that sometimes it seems like maybe the end of the month you see more police radar set up? I don't know, maybe this is just something that's been a propagated myth that, you know, oh, well, we got to meet our quotas. And so it's like, oh my gosh, any little speeding infraction or something you might get stopped for. So potentially that is unethical behavior, one could kind of say, I guess. Nobody should be speeding, so maybe it's not. But anyways, I digress. But that sort of a thing. If you have a goal to set or a quota to meet, maybe that skews your choices or how you're going to deal with things. It may cause you to over-focus in one area while neglecting other areas. Another thing said that it can distort your risk preferences. So you might think, okay, well, you know, I really do need to make that financial quota, so I'm going to be a little bit risky about this or that. I'm going to do something that maybe I shouldn't do. There was some look that it causes a corrosion of corporate culture. So now it's not about the camaraderie or anything. It's all just about, you know, getting higher, moving yourself further along. Or, you know, some of the things I made it up, you know, stepping on your grandmother just to get yourself a little bit higher. That kind of a behavior. Okay, and it may also reduce your intrinsic motivation. So what was really interesting is, so I did do a Google search, and I found this really interesting paper, and I think that's where this marketing guy started this from. It was from the Harvard Business School, and it was a really well-referenced 28-page paper that talks exactly about this, why you should not set goals. So it was interesting in through there. Now, the problem with goal setting is not necessarily goals themselves, but what's missing is rituals and systems and your values, okay? And so without including your values, okay, then you might make poor choices. The other problem with a very, we'll call them the SMART goals, right? The specific, measurable, attainable, relevant goals, is that if you don't meet them, it may actually cause demotivation and stress. And if you realize, let's say partway through something, okay, I'm not going to meet that goal, that can also add a good deal of stress and feeling of lack of worth. And so all these things are not good. So if we go with a new philosophy of intention-based value living, okay, because when you think about it, a lot of the things that are of high value to us are not measurable or specific, right? Hang on, let me start flipping papers, because I've got like three things open that I'm looking at. Okay, so really, if you think about what is important, what do you value the most, a lot of that is things like, family and relationships. And how are you going to be specific and measurable about that? So being a better mother, being a better friend, being a better wife, being healthy. I could set a goal and say, I want to weigh 110 pounds. Bahaha. I don't even remember when I weighed 110 pounds. But anyways, I think it was before junior high. Doesn't matter. But let's say I made that my goal. There is no bloody way I can do that and be healthy at the same time. Not with my body frame. So the only way I could get down to 110 pounds is I starved myself, and in which case, that's not healthy. Okay, so if my goal is to be healthy, then and fit, then that's maybe not as measurable of a goal. So here's where we go. Here's your action plan. What's going to make sense? And I'll take you through some of the things that I came up with on mine too. And then on the blog is where I'll write out what you're supposed to do for you guys. Maybe I'll make that its own little handout for you guys, the members in the article section. So I will do that for you. Okay. So first off, what you want to do is define your values. Okay. Think to yourself, what is important to me in life? What are my real values? Okay. So make a list of those real values. Okay, so I'll tell you when I got through mine, and I'm going to tell you, doing this, what I'm going to describe right now, this took me a couple hours over 2 days to really think about what, to fill all of this in. So anyways, here's what I came up with. So one value was to help my kids successfully finish high school and transition to university or college. And then I later on reworded that to help, direct, motivate, and encourage my kids, okay? Now, number two, I wanted to be in excellent health, okay? Number three, continuous learning, and be that clinical topics, so the practice of canine rehab, business topics, and in life or health as well. So I really like taking courses on online stuff and learning things. So that was number three of my values. Four, I put make an impact on the bigger scale of healthcare for dogs. Okay, so that's a little bit about what I'm doing here with Foreleg and here with at my Canine Fitness Center, and then the industry in general I also want to tap into. And the fifth one was to strengthen my relationship with my husband, Peter. Because, quite frankly, we're at that stage where the kids are getting older, one is going to be moved out of the house next year, and we really have to figure out how to be a couple again. Because, you know, you go through that where everything is about your kids, you're really focused on that, and then you get to the point where you're like, oh my gosh, they're leaving. Well, I'm stuck with this guy here. He's the one who's not leaving. Damn. Okay, so that's number five. I put that there. So anyway, that's all I got to was these five. Now, so that was step one, is those things. Now, I'm going to give you some other, I have all these ones, but some of the other definitions or the defined values that this marketing guy had put was, well, he was a guy, so he is good, be a good husband, be a good father, be in excellent health, feel spiritually connected, be financially free, and any of those. So those are just, those are the ones that he gave as examples, and I gave you my examples. Now, step number two is you want to write down your definition for each value, okay? So what does it mean to you to be an excellent mother or father, or to be an excellent husband or wife, okay? So what you can do, so I'm telling you the way it was told to me is make that list, but what I ended up doing is writing in chunks. So I put all of my things in one category. So my first value category was to help my kids successfully finish high school and transition to university or college. My definition was to help them become honor roll students, get them into their post-secondary school of choice and their program of choice. I want them living in residence because I think that grows you as a human being. And then passing all of their courses. They just have to pass once they get there, really. They can get better marks later on, but when you're first in there, oh boy, I'm happy if you pass. And I want them making new friends. So that was going to be my definition for to help my kids successfully finish high school and transition to university or college. Okay. Be in excellent health. I set a goal weight. I will tell you, it's not 110 pounds. I want to have minimal aches and pains because, quite frankly, I've got a few right now that I'm like, oh my gosh, make me feel so old. So I'm going to have minimal aches and pains. I want to be strong and flexible. My continuous learning, the definition, skill or knowledge acquisition that will improve my clinical effectiveness, improve my teaching, and improve my business growth, and improve my overall well-being. So that covers all those things. Make an impact on the bigger scale of healthcare for dogs. So my definition was success at the Canine Fitness Center, which I defined as increase in profitability and grow our services. I want success in Foreleg. I want more members, and that's even just as much not from a financial aspect, but because that means there are more people out there learning and building their skills and having this resource to help them. I want enough teaching engagements. I put more, but I crossed that out because I thought, you know, I don't want more. I want enough teaching engagements, okay? And I want to be able to produce a continual flow of learning materials. And then the next component was to also have an impact on industry change, be that politics, associations, etc. So because I am a physical therapist, I would like to see a change in the legislation and such for physical therapists to be able to do this. And have all of us able to work together in a professional way. So my definition for strengthening my relationship with my husband was I want us to have some fun hobbies together. I want us to have goals together, be that family goals, home goals, financial goals, and I want us to spend more time connecting. Okay, so those were my definitions. That was part two. Now, part three, or step three, is define what you need to do to live those values. And you're going to look at that on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis. Okay? So, So I'm going to give you the examples that the business guy gave me. So for him, he said to be a good husband meant he was going to try to be a better listener, okay? To be a good father, he wanted to ask questions and really listen and to spend time and be a loving guide and teacher to his children. Okay? And so what they say is pick at least three things in each area that would define what you need to do to live those values. Okay? I'm kind of realizing I may have skipped this step in my own. Okay? Because I kind of went right through to step four, which was creating rituals and habits. Okay? Well, let me see. What did I do here? No, I did it. Okay, never mind. You guys are witnessing my own personal dementia. Okay, so for me, helping my kids to successfully finish high school and transition to university or college, what to do to live this value? So I want to be encouraging about homework and exams. And with that, you know, my mother, I would get 90 on a test, and she would say, oh, well, it's too bad you didn't, you got two wrong, too bad you got two wrong. Would have been so much nicer if you got 95 on that. Well, it would have been. So, you know what? I find I fall into that trap with my own kids, and I don't want to do that because, I mean, it's demotivating. So, I want to make a conscious effort to be encouraging about their homework and exams. And if, you know, the youngest kid, he's had some learning struggles. So, you know, if he ends up with a 68 in social, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, but on his exam he gets 76, and really I would like that to be in the 80s, then I should encourage him for the 76 because that is getting better. So I want to really try and make a concerted effort about that, okay? And the same with the older son. He's one of those 90s students. I want to tell him that's awesome and not say, oh, wow, how many did you get wrong? And I found myself doing that. Okay. I want to source out tutoring as needed if they need tutors. I want to help with applications to the universities, encourage and support their kids' friendships. And I want to spend more time talking with them and having discussions with them. So really, because they're boys, this is really going to be activity-based talking. So going for walks or doing different things with them and that gets them talking. And it's funny, like driving in a car with them, and it's like they have verbal diarrhea. It's all of a sudden, blah, 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 and they're telling me things. I'm like, oh, okay, wow. So that's the secret about boys. You get them doing something, and then they'll talk. Okay. So that's an example then of what you need to do to live those values. So let's see, my continuous learning. What I want to do to live those values is to spend some time every week doing at least 1 hour of active learning. So whether that's reading or an online course. And if an opportunity arises, I want to take a live course. And I want to actively engage in a mentorship program. So I have signed on for one, so I think it's supposed to start sometime in January here. So that would be a business mentorship thing. Being in excellent health, I want to exercise, eat healthy, minimize my martini consumption, make sure I'm taking my supplements, take advantage of healthcare services and the modalities that I have at my clinic in my home. Well, duh, if I've got aches and pains, why aren't I, you know, lasering and shockwaving myself? I want to do this meditation practice I've been learning, consciously creating positive thoughts and positive thought choices, and I want to be aware of my posture. Okay. I won't go through all of them, but that's basically, it's giving you what you would have to do to live this value. Then, step four is you're going to look at creating the rituals and habits, because unless you turn these things into rituals or habits, okay, it may not come about. But now, because you've set these things as values, okay, you value helping your kids, right, or connecting with your husband or wife, you value that, so you're going to create some rituals and habits that you're going to get used to doing so it becomes automated. It becomes something that you do, and then you will achieve these things because it is a ritual and a habit. So this is where it became kind of interesting to look at this in this way. Okay, so my ritual and habits. So if I'm wanting to help my kids, one of the habits I thought that I could do is to regularly go for a walk with the boys. So if we walk the dogs, so what I thought is if I, when I go walking the dogs with the boys, that gives me a chance to just chat with them, usually one-on-one, and chat with them about their day, about homework, and about their goals and such. We always have sit-down family meals. It just kind of works out that we're all usually home, well, except Tuesdays and Thursdays when I work really late, in which case I eat in the car. But on my way home, it's not just I'm banished to the car. But anyways, but just to encourage talking at those times, because it's when we can all engage. Now, here's where you'll notice that none of my values said making money, right? And the same could be said for anybody that has a job. None of your value might not be going to work every day. Ooh. But realistically, here's where this value can come in, is because sending my kids to university or college, I need to make money, okay? And I need to make money to send them there. I need $20,000 per kid per year that they are in their program of studies, because that is, when I looked at all the stuff that they are saying here in Canada right now, they're usually, I'm being quoted when I see this in the university books, about $16,000 a year. So I'm going to round it up to $20,000 a year, give myself some buffer, which is $160,000 to get these kids through a program, a four-year university or college program. So this is where, you know, actually showing up, going to work, making sure I, you know, keeping foreleg going, doing some lecturing, all of that ties in not only to my other value of making an impact on the bigger scale of healthcare for dogs, but it is also going to hopefully get my kids into university or college. So if that works for you, that can, you know, why should you go to work if it's not part of your values? Well, it is when you tie it into somewhere else, right? If you tie it into, you know, connecting with your spouse means going on a vacation or going out for dinner every Friday night, well, you actually need money to do that. So it's not necessarily saying you need to make a certain number, that a goal for a number, but you need to make enough that you can do that. So that's where a money goal might fit in, unless you really do truly value money, and then you can set that as one of your values. Okay, for my goal of being in excellent health. So some of the rituals and habits, you know, I want to exercise 3 to 4 times a week, and that is what I'm doing right now with my yoga and my weights. I want to add stretching in there twice a week because, if I use yoga terms, my front body is much too tight. So I need to stretch out my front body because I'm always hovered over a dog, and so I'm, you know, kind of balling myself up front ways. So I need to stretch out my front a little bit more and spend time doing that. I want to, every 3 or 4 weeks, I want to either go for a massage or do acupuncture or something like that to help with my own physical well-being. I want to try consciously making time for meditating 2 to 3 times a week. Okay, reset my posture as often as I'm able to think about it and try for a goal of maybe once an hour to think about, okay, Lori, straighten up. Okay, I want to make time for fun. I want to say no more often. I want to try and release my worries over things that I cannot control. So I come to realize that I was waking up at night and, like, thinking about things that I have no control over. That, you know, anyways, I need to try and consciously release all of that. So those are some things that I would look at creating rituals or habits for being in excellent health. Okay. So there we go. Flip and flip. So now that I have created those rituals, okay, I've thought of, these are the things I want to do. Now, what we know is that in order to make rituals become a true habit, okay, or something that is just part of what you do and do because you value doing it, it takes 30 days, okay, for your ritual to become a habit or a habit to become a ritual. I don't know which one of those is higher value. But anyways, you need 30 days, and then it becomes a little more ingrained, okay? So you could look at making a checklist and of the things you want to do, and remind yourself when you fall off track, don't beat yourself up, okay? Just get back on track. So one of the ways you can look at trying to create a checklist is you would create a monthly plan, okay? You're going to sit down and you're going to think, for this month, here's what I'm going to do. So maybe get a nice hardbound journal, and I found one that I had been using sporadically. If I look back, looks like I started it, put a date on it somewhere. I think it was in 2009, right? There's 2009, looks like my first entry. Looks like I've really only used 20 pages. So I have not been very good. I have some interesting stuff in here, but anyways, I've not been very good at doing something like this. So I'm going to try and use this. Okay. So in my monthly plan, and so your first month isn't going to look exactly like this, but I'm going to include it for you to talk about anyways. You're going to review your previous month, okay? So what did you accomplish and what didn't you? You can remove any non-relevant tasks. So if you put on there something that you're now looking back going, oh, yeah, that doesn't matter, remove it. And carry over important uncompleted tasks, okay? Now, you're also then going to identify your most important tasks for the month that you are choosing to do, and you remind yourself you are making this choice to do these tasks, okay? And if you keep such a thing, update your electronic calendar. I don't know. I do not have an electronic calendar that I do. But I'm basically looking at my monthly plan. So for me, January, I want to create my next newsletter, which is going to be on Shockwave. And I've got so much stuff, I think it's going to be a two-parter. So a two-part newsletter on Shockwave. I have a book chapter update that I need to complete, so I need to really get that done. I need to get back to Nikki from ACPAT. So I know, well, hopefully you're listening, Nikki. You're on my January to-do list, and hopefully that will actually happen this weekend. I want to upload the Massage 101 that all you members just had completed listening to. I want to upload that for non-members as a course that they can purchase. I want to figure out this program that I bought called ClickFunnels for doing course-type advertising in that for Canine Fitness Center. So I want to figure that program out. I need to learn a new video hosting system for that. And then basically the other stuff relates to my work at the Animal Rehab Division, so I need to create a new flyer for the Intro to Canine patient, upload three flyers onto our website, and those are sort of the monthly plan. Those are the biggies that it's like, okay, I need to hammer out those as far as the big to-do list. Now, my weekly planner, so now I'm going to then throw into my weekly planner, okay, and certainly where you can look at the values and see if there's any values you want to throw into that monthly planner, but I think that maybe fits better into the weekly side. So my weekly planner, okay, so you maybe do this on a Sunday night or whatever, you're going to create your daily journal pages. You're going to have daily journal pages. So you're going to review your previous week, okay? And what did you accomplish? Same thing. What did you accomplish? What didn't you accomplish? Remove non-relevant tasks. Move over uncompleted tasks, okay? Now, you want to review your values. And on a blank sheet of paper, so if I decided to go for 10 days because I was doing this yesterday. So January 1st to January 11th, I wrote that as my week. So I review my values. Help, direct, motivate, encourage my kids, be in excellent health, continue learning, impact canine healthcare, and strengthen my marriage. Okay? Now, I've written those at the top. Okay? Now, I'm going to write down one big rock, one big item in each area, okay, that pertain to my values. So what I've got for me, I want to go online and look up my kids' marks for where they're at and find some reason to praise them for their marks. Surely to goodness, there's going to be at least one course I can praise them in. If not, most of them, I hope. But anyways, I'm going to go on two walks with kids and dogs, specifically all of them, all kids and all dogs, within that time. Not that the dogs should only get two walks. I'm just saying I'm going to make sure that I connect with the kids and the dogs at least twice. I want to get into meditation practice to decrease my stress and worry. I want to read more of the shockwave information. I've just got a bunch more information come in so that I can round out the stuff I'm already creating for that newsletter. I need to organize for a course that's going on next weekend, the 10th, 11th, I think, for our acupuncture fascia meridian course that the Animal Rehab Division is putting on. So I need to do my organizing for the food, the manuals, the paperwork, and all the rest. Dogs need to be bathed and brushed out and all the rest. So I need to organize for that, which fits into my value of impact on canine healthcare, because it's a course. And I am going to do one activity that's just my husband Peter and I. So whether that's going for a walk with the dogs, whether that is going skating. So apparently where our cottage is, the ice, the lake is just amazing. It's like glass. It's really windy. So the trick is to find a day that you want to go skating that isn't windy, but the wind is what made the ice so nice. So maybe we'll do that. Okay. Those are the big rocks. Okay, then I need to write down any additional roles that I have to do this week. So that is going to be my shockwave newsletter, the book chapter progress on that, and I want to set out an e-blast for Canine Fitness Center. I've uploaded a whole pile of our newsletters that we had sent out to vets, and I want to open those up to our clients to see as well. So I want to send out an e-blast to let them know that. So that is what I have so far. And I will, you know what, I'm going to get back to Nikki on that one. Poor Nikki. Let's see. Get back to Nikki. Okay, there we go, Nikki. You're on my list. Okay. Now, that ends up being where I stopped, because that's how it looks. That's how it's going to look for me. This marketing guy obviously has a different day-to-day life than those of us who are in this animal rehab thing, than what ours looks like, right? So he went on to go and say, now you do a daily page, and you're going to have a blank page. You put the date on it. He says, right, one thing you're grateful for. You know what? I like that. I do that first thing when I wake up in the morning, or if I'm driving to work, and I try and think of at least 3 to 5, or I keep thinking about as many as I can. I'm not happy until it's really bright and light out, so I end up with a little bit of morning depression. So this is something I tried to do to stop myself from getting morning depression, is to think about things I'm grateful for. So he says, on your blank page, write one thing you're grateful for. Number two, he says, write your most important task, so maybe 3 for the day, and at least one of them needs to be related to your values. Okay, so your value statement. So of all the things, I need to get this, 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 and this done, and one thing that relates to your values, at least. Okay, you list off all the miscellaneous things you need to do, and then you schedule your day. So the most important first things, and then you give it timelines and all the rest. Now, here's the trick, is I think those of us who are taking appointments day in, day out, you know what, really, we're just trying to survive getting through the appointments. We might have some time, if we have admin time during the middle of the day, or time at the end of our day that we can get other stuff done. That's how that fits in there, but it's a little bit tricky to have a day schedule where you schedule stuff in when you're working around clients. So this is why I thought, you know what, this weekly schedule is where I'm going to stop and at least try and fit this stuff in, or make a conscious effort that during my admin time, I am going to create my Canine Fitness Center e-blast about the newsletter. So that's how I'm going to look at doing that for me. Okay? Now, the other thing I'll throw in there, too, because if you have some spare time and you're looking at you're working at home or you're creating a newsletter or you're doing something like that or a workshop for creating a course. I will throw this out because it's kind of interesting. And what he says is, I think he calls it a 50-10 rule. So what he was saying is set your alarm, work for a good 50 minutes straight. So you're, you know, if you're in front of the computer or whatever, you work for 50 minutes straight, then take a 10-minute break. And whether that's getting up, having a drink of water, you know, walking around outside, you know, kick the ball around for the dog, whatever, and then come back in, work another 50 minutes straight, and then have a break for 30 minutes. And it maybe sounds counterintuitive that it's like, oh my gosh, you know, that's hardly enough work. But because you have these breaks and change in your brain, it may actually help you to focus more. So I'll throw that out as something that you guys can try too. But there you go. That gives you your ideas, that sets your values, tries to break it down into defining your values, set your values, define your values. What do you need to do to live those values? Create your rituals. From there, create your monthly plan, then your weekly plan, and then if you have a day that allows for it, you can do a daily plan. And that is what I'm trying this year. So I'm going to see if this, how this helps me to get things done, and I guess I'll let you know how that works out next year. But I hope this helps you, and I would love to hear back from you if you have any suggestions or what you think about this, and we'll go from there. So, until next time, cheers!